Friday, friends. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC, coming to you loud and clear from the Sweet James Studios in an undisclosed location on the right side of the Orange Curtain. Oh, this week, it's absolute craziness. Are you gearing up for Thanksgiving? Because I know Thanksgiving is a day, but really it's a week. It's a Thanksgiving week. Most places work Monday, Tuesday, maybe half a Wednesday if you work at a bank. This is the one time where it doesn't pay off. Right? No, if you're banks take every possible holiday there is. So, there's federal law mandates that a bank not be closed more than three consecutive days. So there's two or three, whatever it is. They have to open on a Friday after Thanksgiving. Otherwise, they'd be closed four consecutive days. It's three consecutive days. Can't be closed more than three. So if unless you work for a bank, you probably got the whole weekend off, which means an enormous amount of time with family and with friends and hopefully with some good food and no politics. There was a poll today released that said one in three Americans are going to totally avoid talking about politics at the Thanksgiving table this year. I am shocked. You know, I always talk about how I don't believe polling. I don't think it's that low. I don't believe for one minute that it's only one in three. Because what are you going to do this? You're not going to go. No, because there are. More so than ever, this is something I found, more so than ever, there are serious disagreements, political disagreements, within families and within, I mean, previously aligned social groups. Because I think, one thing I found this last year, even among people with whom I normally in the past have agreed mostly, now there's friction. Now there are these wild differences. Now we've got controversies that have broken apart previous party alliances. It's not a Republican-Democrat thing anymore. You used to have families where everybody was a Democrat. Fine and dandy. Lo and behold, we've got all these new revelations about Hillary and the dirty tricks played by the DNC. Now that creates a problem. Maybe you got some Bernie voters that are still dying the wold. You got people that still love Hillary, that they're still with her. And on the Republican side, you got the same thing. So I think my opinion is the number's far greater. And my advice would be, unless you really, really, really know your audience, enjoy Thanksgiving dinner. And now I think a lot of, even this coming weekend, I know people who will be celebrating Thanksgiving Saturday and Sunday. So this is an early warning announcement from Sam Nation. Avoid, at all costs, politics. What am I going to do? No, I'm not. I'm smart enough to only invite people over who share either my views or two can handle a mature discussion of an opposing point of view. This is what I'm going to talk about. This we're going to do a Thanksgiving special on the day of Thanksgiving because we are on at 7 p.m. on Thanksgiving. You may be driving home from Thanksgiving dinner. I don't know. You might be driving to Thanksgiving dinner. You might want to catch the podcast. But I'm going to be talking about our culture of sensitivities because I think that's part of this too. Not only are we right now living in a highly charged political climate, but we also are more sensitive than we've ever been as a country. I'm going to talk about that. Now, another day, another revelation, this time from our own Leanne Tweeden, about none other than Al Franken, the good senator from Minnesota. So I'm going to... let me tell you about this, because I may have a very different take than most conservatives. There are a lot of what people out there are doing on the right is they are absolutely gleeful about it. And let me tell you why. They're gleeful because Franken's a hypocrite. There's no other way to put it. Franken, This is a guy who, when Trump's notorious tape came out, the grabbing tape, the Access Hollywood tape, right? You remember this during the campaign. And, you know, the Franken was front and center. He was one, I mean, he was one of the elders of the Democratic Party calling for the immediate ouster of Trump from the campaign. Republicans need to immediately put a new candidate in. I mean, there was no room for any discussion of any kind. And so the thing here is, the thing that's causing, I'm going to say glee. It's glee on the conservative side of this issue, is that this is the hypocrisy of the left. It's the same schadenfreude that we're enjoying with Weinstein. You have had Hollywood, right? This is something that needs to be said. Hollywood, in cahoots with the Democrats in office, have been shoving down a politically correct agenda down our throats. And every movie, every TV show, every ridiculous piece of media propaganda out there. Meanwhile, they aren't living what they preach. It's not just sexual harassment. It's the environment. The environment is the replacement religion of the 21st century, okay? It is a religion. And this dogma is pushed in every stupid movie. I can't even, you know, maybe you don't even pick up on it sometimes. But I do. I go to a movie and I immediately can see the undertones of some agenda in it. You look at the director, you look at the lead actor, you look at whomever, and these guys are multimillionaires jetting around on big private jets, burning holes in the ozone. But of course, the rules do not apply to them. So it's a question of hypocrisy. It's no different than a pastor preaching, you know, sexual purity and meanwhile having 13 mistresses. No different. So that, to me, is what this Al Franken story is about. Now, I think as we get into discussions, and the floodgates are opening. I think it'll be in the history books someday. You know, 25 years from now, kids are going to be in high school, and they're going to be reading about 2017 and 2018, the great sex abuse epidemic of 2017 and 2018. But it didn't happen today. It's been happening for years. It's just the floodgates have opened today. And we've got hashtags. Me too. And this is the same. I mean, things like this happen in waves. Revelations happen in waves. You remember the Catholic priest sex abuse scandal, happening for decades, if not centuries. And then in a very short period of time, floodgates open and everything comes to light, or most everything comes to light, at least. Well, then the discussion has to be what's what? Because to me, I'm looking at some of this and I'm saying, men are men and women are women. I've talked to my wife about this extensively. I'm so curious, and any woman that's close to me right now, I'm fascinated. I want to get in her mind because I want to understand this. Now, I'll tell you what that's true. Consensually getting into her mind. Thank you, Robbie. Good clarification. Do you know what my wife says about all of this? That women play it both ways. That's her take. So for example, she gets really annoyed when she sees a TV anchor, newscaster, kind of a, you know, babe on TV who dresses, we'll call it sexy. And she gets offended by this because she says, you're supposed to be a serious journalist. Your body's not the issue. Okay, you're pretty, I get it. And she put her example is Megyn Kelly interviewing Putin in one of the interviews. I mean, she just was, you know, dressed a little. Well, in my wife's view, it was a little revealing. And her point is, look, if you're a serious journalist, dress like a serious journalist. The men are all wearing suit and ties. What if, just humor me here, Fox News, what if Brit Hume showed up to do an interview and was wearing a little sleeveless getup? Not a good visual, right? So, but you get the point. The men are all in long sleeves and have, you know, buttoned up collars to the top. Now, just a little side note. I think many women out there recognize that they put them, you know, other women, maybe not you, but you put yourself out there and you dress in a way to get noticed. And then, gosh forbid, there are men out there who notice you. It'll happen. And by the way, I don't know that necessarily we're going to create a culture where men check their sexuality and women check their sexuality at the door before they clock in to go to work. The wild success of 50 Shades of Grey, I haven't read it and I haven't seen the movies, but what I understand it to be about is a powerful man and a woman who, I think, does she work for him? Is that the setup? Now I'm looking at producer Robbie, who looks totally lost. He's putting his hands up. He is feigning that he has no knowledge on this issue. Yes, but you know the name of the girl. Okay, I got it. So, what was that whole story about? Why were so many housewives all across America turning the pages and, you know, those books were flying off the shelves? There's something fun about it and exciting. But it was consensual. That's the deal. The girl liked it. And that's what this thing comes down to. I look at Weinstein, I look at Frank, and I see these gross guys. And it may be more, too. By the way, I'm just not picking on the Democrats. It might be Roy Moore in Alabama just as well. Look, you got guys. A girl says no, and they don't hear it. They don't hear the no. That's what this is about. But the other part of this, in my view, is there are different shades of action taken. When you look at a Harvey Weinstein or a Bill Clinton, and you're talking about rape, we'll call that a 10 on the 0 to 10 scale. I mean, that's extreme. A guy asking a girl out, she's saying no, and him pestering her, that's like a 1 on the scale. And then everything in between. This is just my view. It's also, I'm looking at it based on what kind of criminal charge can you bring. If the allegations are proven, a rape is a serious crime. It's a serious felony. You're going to go to jail for a long time. Maybe not in California, but in a real state. Oh, I mean, it's where we are right now. So, And again, if you call the cops and saying, hey, I got this guy over here and he keeps asking me out on dates. I hope the cops are like, well, lady, listen, block his number and put him on do not disturb. And if we've got a stalking situation, we'll deal with that. So there it is. There has to be some scale to this. And what I don't like right now, one thing, number one, that bothers me in all of this is an allegation is enough to totally sink somebody. And there is this, we are engaged right now in this hyperdrive, full speed ahead on believing every accuser. This will get abused if it hasn't already. Now, I'm not talking about Tweeden. I'm not talking about anybody here. I'm not talking about Juanita Broderick. I'm not talking about any of these accusers. I'm saying in general, if you've got a logical mind, you get this. Some woman somewhere will abuse it. Some woman somewhere has abused it. And that doesn't even apply to women. I mean, it applies to us men too. We have all of us, if you have lived out there in the real world, have been among people, not in a cave, not in an Amish commune somewhere. You have been hit on by somebody whose affections you do not want. You do not want. And if we don't take a minute here with all this going on and just reflect on the potential abuses, that are sure to come if this thing continues the way I see it happening, we don't take a minute to consider all of this, there will be a backlash some point. And that backlash, this is what I really fear. You want to get real. The backlash will be that we will stop believing legitimate accusers. And it will be harder, not easier, to deal with these types of bad acts and crimes. So that's food for thought. Lots else going on in news. I want to get into the Saudi Arabia thing, too, and explain to you a little bit about what's going on there, because I think it's kind of an interesting thing. Plus, free speech and an anti-Trump message. Also very interesting. Don't go anywhere. Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Talk Radio. 790 KABC.
Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. There is a truck in Texas that has an anti-Trump message. You want to know what the message is? I'll tell you what the message is. There we go. Had a little echo there. Thanks for fixing that. Live radio. Sorry about this, folks. Oh, speaking of live radio, hold on a second. 800-222-5222. sam@samnation.com is the email. So if there is something you'd like to talk to me about here, give us a call. So this truck with an anti-Trump message, I can't tell you what the Trump message is, but do you know the rear window on a truck cab? It's like a pickup truck. It's a white, I think a Chevy Sierra truck, Fort Bend County, Texas. And it says F Trump in like enormously huge lettering. I don't know what font size this is, but it's like a font 120. Okay. If normal is 12. And the local sheriff there. Now, Texas is Trump country for the most part, if you're anywhere outside of Austin. And the local sheriff there is threatening the driver of this truck with a disorderly conduct charge. This bothers me so much. Okay, so let me. Well, why disorderly conduct? Well, because this is basically where obscenity laws. This is how obscenity laws are disguised, or they try to get around it being a free speech issue, and they try to make it into a raising hell issue, right? You got a guy walking down the street yelling obscenities at people. He's being disorderly. It's a threat to the peace. The only problem with this is, by and large, courts have thrown out any effort to regulate speech in this way. That when it comes to you expressing a political opinion, which this, by the way, is, I don't think he's actually advocating that Trump be sexually penetrated. I think that I don't know. In this whole climate, I have no idea. By the way, there's another line to it. So it says F Trump and F you for voting for him. So, okay. Now, I have a question for you. Let's say you are a sensitive Trump voter. You're driving along in Fort Bend County, Texas. You're a Texan. Or maybe you're the kind of person that has enough chutzpah to drive through Texas because you've got the I'm with Hillary sticker on the back of your truck. No, your Subaru, right? Are you threatened by this? Because where free speech draws the line, technically, is where there's an imminent threat. So for example, I can't say to you, you wait right there, mister. You know, I can't point to you. Right, you wait right there, mister. I'm walking right over there and I am going to, you know, X, Y, and Z. That's an imminent and direct threat. By the way, the courts also want to know if you're capable of carrying out the threat. So if it's Stephen Hawking saying, I'm gonna mess you up, probably not capable of imminently carrying it out, unless, I don't know, whatever. But you get the point. So courts are actually, when it comes to the language, when it comes to speech, The First Amendment is so powerfully clear, and it has been upheld over and over again. The limits placed on it are met with the highest levels of scrutiny. So this, I think this is an absolute non-starter. And this is coming from a Trump guy. I think that people should be able to put whatever they want. And this obscenity laws, look, you're not going to. This is such a charade, by the way, isn't it? Oh, it's a bad word. Oh my God. You go to any Hollywood movie has the F word in it. That's, this is absurd. And we play this game like the F word doesn't really exist. It's not out there. No, this is, you got a sheriff. I guarantee you the sheriff is a Republican Trump supporter and doesn't like a guy driving around with this. And that's really what this is all about. Okay. Oh, Bob Menendez. We got to talk about him. Democratic senator from New Jersey. Update on his trial for corruption. Plus a great audio soundbite. We got John Wolfe up next with the news. Don't go anywhere. We're back after this.
Talk Radio. Talk Radio. 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC. We're here in the Sweet James Studios in an undisclosed location, safely ensconced on the right side of the orange curtain. 1-800-222-5222 is the phone number if you want to be on the program. sam@samnation.com is my email. Do tell me if you agree with me, if you hate me, if you think my voice is funny sounding. It is after this long week. I am talked out. Because I talk all day long. That's what lawyers do. We talk. And then I come here in the evenings and I talk. Thank goodness I miss you guys on nights that we're not on a lot. Very difficult for me. It's weird, actually. You know, the Kings will be on, they'll have a game, and I know I'm not on air. So, first of all, I don't even know what to do with myself with all that free time. It's bizarre. I get to hang out with family. It's weird. Or I just stay at work longer. I do that too. But I do miss being here. And then almost always as a rule, if I'm off on a given night, everything happens like it's a giant freaking news day. And I then have to go and pick up the pieces the day after. No problem. I'm not complaining. It's a heavy burden, but I can shoulder it. Well, one of those things was the Al Franken allegations broke yesterday by our own Leanne Tweeden. I talked a little bit about that at the beginning of the hour. I will say this. Boy, was that good timing for Roy Moore. If I'm Moore in Alabama, it was high time that somebody else come out and get in the spotlight. And that's exactly the thought I had with Roy Moore when Weinstein came. You know, Weinstein, by the way, yesterday TMZ reported that he'd actually ditched a wig and sunglasses and was hanging out with two very attractive blondes somewhere in Arizona. This is somehow news because, you know, I don't know. I guess was he wearing a wig? Was he hiding from people? This reminds me of Larry David and Curb Your Enthusiasm when he has a fatwa against him. I don't know if you've seen that episode. Anyway, life imitates art, as it is said. So, with all this going on, Weinstein's got to be stoked that Spacey came around. And Spacey's stoked that this allegations came out with Roy Moore. So this is like a relay race of bad acts. What are they passing from one person to the other? Not good, whatever it is. Speaking of things getting passed on, Bob Menendez, Democrat, New Jersey, senator, and almost convicted felon, the jury deadlocked, and deadlocked hopelessly, and it was just enough. It was just enough deadlock to basically declare a mistrial. That's what happens. You need a unanimous jury to convict. In a civil case, by the way, you only need 9 out of 12. Did you know that? So the you know, you need a unanimous jury in a criminal case. So this is where you can have one. Have you heard the expression, the holdout juror? That's where it comes out. You can have one person that says we're not going to convict and everybody else says convict. Well, here it was actually quite the other way around. It was, I believe from news reports that two people were for convicting him, were for a guilty, and 10 people for not guilty. And when we come back, I want to get in a little bit into the merits of the case and explain to you why. And I actually think when you look at the law, it's the ruling from the Supreme Court, I liked it. And I'll explain to you why. But I'll also tell you that right now, when you've got a 10 not guilty and 2 guilty, the prosecutors will look at that. The assistant attorney general who is trying the case, they're gonna look at that. If they only convince, if they put on a month long case and only got 2 jurors, the chances for them retrying this guy are pretty low. I honestly give it like a 25-33% chance that they put on another trial. So, all right, I'll get into it. Plus, Menendez, he gave a great statement to the press. I got to play this, dude. What an money hole. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Thanksgiving holiday time is here. Sweet James and his team focus on what matters most, meeting the needs of people with their experience, reputation, training, and knowledge. And this all serves you, their accident victim client. They help you recover, get healed up, and get back to whole. Over the years, Sweet James has told me many insurance companies aggressively fight legitimate claims. So nearly 15 years, his firm has represented many people who've had real injuries, weren't at fault, and yet the insurance company still wanted to deny their claims. That's not fair. People do matter to Sweet James, and his team does everything possible to get you the justice you deserve. Their single focus is you, the client. Attorney Sweet James Bergner and his team fight for you and your loved ones. Don't handle your accident alone. It doesn't cost anything to call 800-881-2021. No recovery, no fee. They've recovered over $400 million for their clients, and that number is growing. Always there for you if you need them. 800-881-2021. 1-800-881-2021. Or visit sweetjames.com. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC. Friday night, thank you for being with us. Good to have you. Bob Menendez, now he's the New Jersey senator that was on trial for many, many weeks. It's a long, big trial dealing with his friendship, quote unquote, with a very wealthy guy. This guy is, I believe, a surgeon of some kind. His name is Melgen. And this guy, Melgen, basically... It is alleged. Well, but I think it's all been fairly well documented. I mean, Menendez has flown on Melgen's private jets, has gotten lavish gifts from him, has gone on very expensive vacations. You've got a senator who makes, I don't know, what is it, $180 a year or whatever, you know, and he's going on these $25,000-$30,000 vacations. He's not paying for them. So you've got these vacations happening. You've got these gifts being given. And then, subsequently, you have Menendez doing things like, I don't know, calling the Department of Homeland Security and getting visa clearances for this Melgen guy's girlfriends that are coming up from the Dominican Republic. And you have other interferences by a senator and very low-level stuff, stuff that he really shouldn't be doing, but he's making calls on behalf of his friend. Now, the reason that I don't know, I wasn't in the jury deliberation room. I can't tell you why it was that 10 people thought he was not guilty. But I suspect that it goes back to a case dealing with Bob McDonald. Now, this ended up being Bob McDonald was a Virginia governor who got convicted on a number of counts of corruption. And his appeal went all the way up to the Supreme Court. And basically, not to get too into the weeds, the Supreme Court threw the case out, remanded it back for retrial, said that the way that the U.S. Code is written is a little too broad. And it all has to do with overt acts, right? Overt acts being done by the bribery target. So if I pay a senator money, it has to be really, really clear that I'm giving him $1,000 and that in turn he's doing something for me. Now, this there was a lot of controversy to this. The problem is that the statute before, in my opinion, was really broad. I mean, you really, any kind of, you know, any time if, let's say you're an elected official and you've got a friend, and that friend, you're operating in a different sphere, right? You're a state employee or a federal employee, and you've got friends who are in the jet set crowd, and they're providing you benefits. And, you know, basically the Supreme Court said, you know, if you're cultivating a friendship with somebody, that's not enough for it to be graft, for it to be corruption. I don't think this makes it particularly easy for there to be a corruption case against the Clintons. As excited as we might be to put Hillary Clinton in jail, this might be some of the reason why Hillary is not on the chopping block yet. All right, I'm going to give you the press statement here when we come back. Bob Menendez, great statement to the press. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Talk Radio
790 KABC.
So when Bob Menendez, when the jury deadlocked and the judge declared a mistrial, Menendez gave a press conference. Now, it wasn't carried live here on Sam Nation, but press covered it. Here is Menendez. He's bitter. Listen to this.
To those in the press who did their job and did it with professionalism, and even to some of you who are actually kind, I believe you showed others what a professional press is all about and why that freedom is so important to our society. To those who were digging my political grave so that they could jump into my seat, I know who you are, and I won't forget you.
Ooh, wow. Now, I understand. This is New Jersey. I mean, they put people in concrete and make them disappear. So very ominous from a guy who just got away from potentially got away with a very extensive career and taking and receiving bribes and helping his powerful rich friends. My only comment on this and why I love this clip so much is Democrats are so thin-skinned. These guys, they are so used to being loved by the press. They are so accustomed to being, you know, coddled by the media. I mean, they're on the side of justice. They're on the side of the little man. They're on the side of the cutting edge of social issues. And so when they get caught with their hand in the cookie jar and, God forbid, go up on federal corruption charges, and the press write about it and say, oh, yeah, this is looking a little hairy for Bobby in New Jersey, they go berserk behind this line. To those of you who were digging my political grave so they could jump into my seat, I know who you are and I won't forget you. Preceded by this whole blabble about professional journalism and, you know, and, oh yeah, this line, and even to some of you who are actually kind, and nobody's talking about this, you know, and Trump gets on Twitter and says, you know, hey, yeah, fake news, CNN, and the, oh, Acosta goes, you can't have this. You can't talk about, you can't malign the press as president of the United States. And here you've got Bob Menendez, a sitting senator, Who's getting bribed, whether it fits the definition of the law or not. He's taking bribes. Letting himself get jet-setted around by a close buddy of his. And then is doing things for him that you and I would not have access to, right? You and I, without quote-unquote cultivating a friendship with a sitting senator, would never have access to the government the same way that this Melgen guy did. And the whole purpose behind federal bribery statutes is to make the government of the people accountable to the people and work for all the people, not just the select few with wealth and private jets. But nonetheless, the takeaway here is the Democrats are thin-skinned. They can get a little criticism in the press and they start to break down. Okay, we're up next. 8 o'clock hour, as per usual. We're on for 2 hours now. So 8 o'clock, I want to get into some of Trump deregulation stuff. The lifting the ban on elephant trophies. People are going nuts about this. Yeah, that's the latest. Trump is allowing the import of elephant trophies into the U.S. I'm going to tell you why it's good. That's right. Why it's good. Yeah, stay tuned. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Talk Radio.
790 KABC.
Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC, plowing through our second hour here of radio fun and games. No, also information, because we taking the headlines and going just a little bit deeper, and a little bit further through these complex issues. Now, one of these issues popped up not in my news feed, but in my Facebook feed. Now, I have I have social media. I'm one of those people. And on my Facebook, I've deliberately kept it to really just my friends. I post hardly anything on there. It is really a means for me to be able to miss high school reunions without feeling like I've really left something on the table. That's what Facebook is for. So you don't have to go to high school reunions. You know what people are doing out there in your world from, 25 years ago. And you're good. So Facebook is for baby pictures. But it also, for me, is... It's kind of a bellwether for what's going out there with people that are roughly my age. And one thing that everybody across the board is going absolutely berserk on is this news that the Trump administration is planning to lift the ban on elephant trophies coming out of two African countries. Now, that second part of this is what is forgotten. It's basically being reported as Trump wants to import elephant trophies. And people are going berserk. Now, let me tell you a couple of things here. First of all, fair disclosure, I have been hunting once. I went, not elephant hunting, it was pheasant hunting. And I am such a lover of animals. I killed one bird and I was done. Like, it was... And I'm such a bad shot that I hit the bird and then it didn't die and it was fluttering around and I had to shoot it again. I don't want to get too graphic here, but it was just awful. And my brothers-in-law, who are from Utah, and this was, by the way, this was up in Utah. This is a totally normal thing that people do there. And by the way, we brought the bird back and we ate it and it was okay. Only it's filled with pellets. And plus, I had to shoot it twice, so there's pellets everywhere in the meat. Ugh. Anyway, the whole time I'm eating it, I felt like a murderer. So I am not a hunter. I'm an embarrassment to my forebears. I can't do it. I would kill an animal if I was defending myself or if I was defending my animal, my pet, from getting attacked. But that's about it. So I could never, ever kill an elephant. Number one, I love elephants. And number two, I just can't kill animals, period. But I'm going to tell you something that will shock some of your ears. So if you, this is a trigger warning. Prepare yourselves for a cold heart's truth about hunting. Hunting can be good for the animals that it targets. And the reason for it is that hunting traditionally has been used by man, and by this I mean man in general, mankind, right? Women too, who understand the populations of various species and how they go up and down to help regulate that. In Europe, where I am from and where my family comes from, hunting is a critical part of maintaining the ecosystem. If you've got too many deer, it's a problem. There becomes not enough food for all the deer to eat. And then you have, if left unchecked, mass starvation incidents. You have disease that spreads. And ultimately, in the world without hunting, it's the same with logging, by the way. If it's done the proper way, not cutting down huge swaths of forest, but going through and culling trees from a carefully, maintained forest. It's good. Because why? Too many trees too close together, disease spreads, trees die, and you end up losing more trees. And same with the deer, you lose more deer if the populations are left untamed and unchecked. This is a cold hard truth. Now, back in 2014, the Obama administration banned the import of elephant trophies, and it was classic Obama virtue signaling. Most of what Obama did in office, this is why many people love him, by the way. I don't want to take this away because many of us do not look at the substance of what is done, but rather the what? The feelings that we get, the feels. If we feel that something is the right thing to do, then by all means, we ought to do it. Consequences be damned. The Trump administration, Trump's over what you think on Facebook of him. I mean, he's over it. He knows he's got his fans. He knows he's got, his supporters. And that's that. The Trump administration doesn't care about what message it sends. They care about the substance of it, which is why Slate, this is if you're not familiar with Slate, they are not a Trump-supporting institution. As far as left-wing media goes, Slate is pretty far out there. Neil V. Patel, writing about this ban, lifting the ban on elephant trophies, he writes, "Our knee-jerk reaction to hunting and to Trump ignores good data that suggests hunting works as a means of conservation." Exactly my point. Why do you think, by the way, the government regulates hunting licenses? The purpose behind a hunting license, number one, I'm always convinced anything the government does with licensure is to raise money. So number one, it raises money. But the other thing it does is you've got fish and game people out there who are tracking these populations going, wow, we really grew this year. We can hand out a few more licenses. Back to that deer problem. This is why we hunt white-tailed deer in North America. It's done specifically to preserve and to conserve the body of white-tailed deer. Well, in Africa, there's a reason why. There are two countries. Let me see. I think it was Zimbabwe, and which is the other country? Two countries that they lived. Zambia. The reason is that while the Obama administration used numbers of elephants worldwide, so not just in sub-Saharan Africa, but also India and elsewhere. And they claimed that populations were way down based on that. But this is fascinating, by the way. You know, in the year 1900, 4,000 individual elephants counted in Zimbabwe. And now, in 2014, at the time the administration, the Obama administration ban went into effect, do you guess how many they counted? So 4,000 back in the year 1900. Then Obama comes around to save the world from elephant hunting. What happens? 82,000 that year, total counted. I don't even want to do the math what kind of a multi-thousand percent increase that is. But you get the point. The other thing in hunting, and this is very important, the other thing in hunting that's a problem is poaching, is the black market. And one thing that you do is when you open the front door, it's like immigration, it's drugs, it's everything. If you really understand how to, if you really want to protect the world from a certain problem, you don't make it illegal across the board. You're not going to change human behavior and make things illegal that people want. What you do is you make it legal and you regulate it. And that's what allowing these trophies to come into the country does. It allows people, first of all, the U.S. Department of Interior, Fish and Game, they've looked at these two countries and have recognized that they have stellar conservation efforts. Also recognize that when you, by the way, you know, one of these permits, if you want to bring, I don't know, some elephant part into the country, can range from 4,000. This is how much it's going to cost you. $4,000 to $18,500. That's how much you're paying, not for the hunting trip, not for any of that. This is money that you're paying to the U.S. government. And you guess where some of that money goes? Back into conservation efforts. It's a revolving door. And guess what happens? Let's say you, I get it. You're a lover of animals. You love elephants. You, like me, grew up reading Babar. Maybe you're even a Republican, so the elephant is a little close to your heart, you know? So you hear there are elephants being hunted, and you hate this. Have you watched those nature movies where the animals are wandering in the wild and then they get attacked and then there's not enough water and not enough plants and the elephant just plops over dead? Have you seen those movies? They're bloody heart-wrenching is what they are. Because nature is cruel. I understand when you're a city-slickin' liberal, you don't get this. You don't understand how cruel nature can be. Your idea of nature is fantasy land. Is the zoo. And you don't like the zoo either because, you know, they're in captivity. In the real, cruel, hard world of nature, animals die. They fight over watering holes. They fight, you know, climate before, you know, we ever had any smokestacks or, you know, the internal combustion engine. Climate varied. One year you had a lot of rain. The next 3 years you had a drought. Normal stuff. And it affected animal populations. And when animal populations swelled after a big rain and then years of drought happened, what do you think happened to all those animals that needed water, needed food, needed everything? They didn't get it and they died. And this is stuff that, you know, people wade into debates that they don't get, and they're not even willing to open their minds up for a minute to try to understand it. What's more humane? Dying a slow death of hunger and plopping over in the middle of the desert after 2 weeks of agony, or getting shot in the head by Donald Trump Jr.? Well, I'll just turn it around and say this. I mean, what do you do with your pet when they're sick? Right? I mean, liberals love euthanasia. They love it for humans. There's no like it for animals in the wild. Let me bring this closer to home. Do you know who we ought to start hunting, in my opinion? My neck of the woods over here in Orange County, we have a coyote problem. We have a coyote problem. We got coyotes that bite people. There was somebody in the hot tub a few years back. They're in their community. Their community had a pool and it's like a communal hot tub. And this guy is in the hot tub and he's got his head resting. You know what I'm talking about. He's relaxing. Coyote comes up, thinks his head is an animal, comes up and bites him in the head. This happened in Irvine. Well, no, then of course the coyote got a fright of his life because it wasn't a little animal and the head did not immediately come off the body and the guy wasn't seriously injured, but you know, I don't think he's relaxing in any hot tubs since. And more to my point, coyotes are, their population at the time was swelling and we're back up, it's happening right now, I'm seeing it in my neighborhood. The population at the time swelled and what happened? The coyotes begin to get more and more aggressive in a search for food, which is why pets get grabbed right off your leash. You're walking your dog and a coyote jumps out of the bushes, grabs your dog and off they go. I'm totally in favor of hunting coyotes. Absolutely. Can't say that, though. Start talking about that in polite circles and people think you're some sort of sadist. You're like, you know, Adolf Eichmann's brother making that argument. Now, this PETA crowd, they're absolutely bananas nuts. PETA, you guys are nuts. Absolutely nuts. Because it's about your feelings. It's about you, not the animals. That's what irks me about it. And you will be hard-pressed to find a guy on the radio who loves animals more than I do. Trust me on this. But I'm a realist. And I do not look at issues using my emotions. I don't. That is a terrible weakness that we as humans need to overcome. So I, you know, you're looking at this issue. I want to clarify that when you've got a legalized system, always better. Always better. And when you outlaw something, you drive it underground and it's unregulated and you have poachers and you have a lot of bad stuff. And now you're going into places that have low populations and kill. It's just, it's not good. I'm sure I'm going to hear from you about this. As many of you probably very irked by this segment. I'm okay with that though. Sometimes the truth hurts. All right, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
Talk Radio, 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio, 790 KBC. Another statistic for you in talking about these, lifting of a ban on elephant trophies. People are up in arms about this, and I was explaining that just in the last segment about some facts, you know, not emotions. The two countries from where these permits are being granted have had an explosion in elephant population in a very short period of time. So, for example, Zimbabwe, which is one of the two places, 4,000 individual elephants counted in the year 1900. In 2014... that number was above 82,000. Huge increase. Now, all things in nature are not created equal. You've got 82,000 elephants fighting for the same food that 100 years ago, 4,000 elephants are fighting for. It's not good. And having a regulated scheme of hunting is good. And what the U.S. Department of Fish and Game here decided was they looked at the programs in Zimbabwe and Zambia and said these are countries that have good conservation efforts that are keeping track of their populations where there is responsible hunting going on. So why not allow it? And by the way, when we let these trophies come in, what did I tell you? I found the number. It's the fee that is paid to the U.S. government for bringing the trophy in ranges from $4,000 to $18,500. Big money. That money goes back to conservation efforts for other species that are less plentiful and that obviously ought to be and are restricted. Now, hunting, interestingly enough, hunting is one of the biggest single sources of money nationally here. Yeah, it's important. So yeah, hunting is bigger than the Sierra Club, bigger than any environmentalist wacko group that you give money to every year. You know, ooh, I'm helping, you know, and you put the little sticker on your car. You're a member of the, I don't know what association or the zoo or whatnot. And you think you're helping? Buy a hunting permit. Hunting, biggest single source of source nationally for conservation. $185 million per year through license fees nationwide. And then there's more also for money when you buy a gun. We buy rifles and the hunting rifles and equipment. There's fees that go back into it. So I know it becomes an emotional issue. And everybody just loses their mind. By the way, it's this loosening of restrictions, this restriction on trophies, went into effect in 2014. Obama, he was a great guy, you know, and he waited 4 years, what, no, 6 years? Waited 6 years into being president to finally do something about an important issue. Doing it, by the way, that year that the 82,000 number was released. 4,000 elephants to, in just over 100 years, 82,000 elephants. But Obama still thought it was important, a virtue signal. One of Trump's, I think, greatest accomplishments so far that's not being talked about is all of his various deregulation acts. So he, with the executive orders, with the power of the presidential pen, is really pruning back the federal government. And it actually got noticed by Reason, Reason.com, another magazine that does not, online news opinion group that does not particularly love Donaldus Maximus. But that said, pruning back regulation doesn't have to be a partisan issue, is an article that they put out. I want to talk about some of these points here because I think it's important. I think that every time we have an emotional feeling about an issue, boom, the government puts in a regulation. And then we end up with this overgrown federal bureaucracy. And it's high time someone like Trump comes in and takes some choppers to it. It's like cutting bonsai, only I want like a wood chipper. I just want to put the whole thing in and I start over. Burn this thing to the ground. Our federal government is overgrown, overburdened with regulation, and all of us are suffering for it. I'll point out some ways that this happens when we come back. Don't go anywhere. John Wolf up next with the news. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Friends, Sam Rzhovsky here, Sam Nation live on Talk Radio 790 KABC, 800-222-5222 if you'd like to be on the program. sam@samnation.com is my email. Speaking of Trump deregulation, he's getting high praise from The Economist, which again is not a giant fan club for all things Trump. And one of the things that is mentioned, well, let me give you an example how deregulation affects you. Remember what I said about the elephant hunting? How a rule that sounds good is great and it gets high praise for the politician that puts it in. That's right. Ban trophies. We've got to protect our elephants. And everybody's like, yes, Obama, you're the best. You're the best. And then it creates a whole host of problems. Well, I give you one. There is something called in the Labor Department a fiduciary rule. This requires investment advisors, you know, people that give you retirement advice and plan for your financial future, IRAs, that type of thing, to always work in the best interests of you, their clients. Now, when this was put in, by the way, doesn't that sound great? It sounds great, right? I mean, of course, that's what it ought to be. But what happened was that simple rule spawned pages, hundreds of pages of legalese of restrictions that became a total nightmare for the financial services industry. Let me tell you what hundreds of pages, hundreds, by the way, folks, hundreds of pages of legalese means in practical terms to your local financial advisor. It means money out of their pocket. It is a cost. Anytime there is regulation, regulation costs money. That's the cold, hard truth people don't understand. So where, and by the way, most people think that money grows on trees, that it's sort of this thing that comes from the federal government. I think like we get it from Uncle Sam. Like it just sort of like comes to me. I get a refund check every year. Like it's a cool thing. Like we care about it, how we feel. We don't care about the numbers. Well, the numbers have to add up. And when you've got a company, even big companies like Charles Schwab, or others, I don't want to name, just single them out, they're passing that cost on to you. And it's interestingly enough, I found somewhere, there are estimates that the majority of real retail investors, right? Retail investors, you know, these are, you know, this is you and I putting away some money for retirement. Increased costs of 73 to 196%, because there's now this force to do fee-based accounts. Now, what does this mean? It means that, you know, they made this rule that says you have to work in the best interests of your clients. Before, what you could do is you say, hey, somebody comes to you and says, yeah, I want to put some money away for retirement. And you could put them into a fund or with an investment program where that investment program paid you a little spliff. You still wanted to pick the best program, because if you didn't get your clients a good return, they're going to fire you and take their money and move it somewhere else. So this is, liberals don't ever think how the real world works. But the hundreds of pages of legalese put an end to just that one thing. So now what did it force? It forced these people to collect an upfront fee many times from people coming in and asking for advice on retirement and putting together a little retirement nest egg. But because these fees weren't being covered by big institutions with a little bit across the board to these guys, now it was coming from individuals, the cost of that went up. Plus, they had to conform with all this regulation. So more money for that. So now the fees went up in general, because it costs that business more money. Now there's another very direct result here too. It has to do with competition. Competition is good, by the way, as a principle. Competition is very good. When businesses compete for your business, you get the best possible service. Regulation is inherently anti-competitive. I'm going to explain this when we come back. Don't go anywhere. Sam Rachofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
Talk Radio. 790 KABC.
Thanksgiving is almost here. Sweet James and his team are focused on what matters most, helping you, their client, with their experience, reputation, training, and knowledge. All of these things serve you, their clients. They help you recover. They help you get healed up and get back to whole. Now, over the years, it's become clear to Sweet James that many insurance companies aggressively fight even legitimate claims. The firm has represented many people who've had real injuries, weren't at fault for their accident, and yet the insurance company still denied them. Is that fair? People do matter, and Sweet James and his team do everything possible to get you the justice you deserve. Their single focus is you. Attorney Sweet James Bergner and his team fight for you and your loved ones. So don't go at it alone. Don't do it on your own. It doesn't cost you anything to make that first call. 800-881-2021. 800-881-2021. No recovery, no fee. They're always there for you if you need them. Also, go to his website, sweetjames.com. Sam Rachofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio, 790 KBC. Happy Friday night, one and all. Deregulation. One of the reasons I love this, and I'm so happy Trump is taking a giant axe to it. He is, by the way, through executive order, pruning back regulations. He's getting noticed even by Economist. Slate magazine did a piece. No, Reason, excuse me. Reason did a piece on this. Again, coming from liberal, non-Trump supporting publications, they're noticing this and they know it's good for the economy. I also tell you, it's good for the consumer because there's this misnomer. Democrats want, liberals want, in general, they think that the best way to protect the consumer is through onerous regulation. And the exact opposite actually happens. Let me explain. Regulation to are you in banking? Is anybody here does banking? You know that after Dodd-Frank, if you're in banking, you know that Dodd-Frank literally has ruined your business. It's ruined your life. And why is it? Before, you spent time on phone with the customer. You spent time worrying about your bank making money. You spent time worrying about making your customer money or saving your customer money, whatever it is. Man, I mean, some banks were out there to certainly do some bad things. But nonetheless, after Dodd-Frank, all of you in banking have spent all your time in meetings and worrying about regulation, worrying about these new stupid rules about putting, you know, five different, you know, different pieces of paperwork together on something that used to be just one piece of paper. And what does this do? It has one huge unintended consequence. I'll tell you what that is. See, all this costs money. How hard is it to start a bank? Very difficult, by the way. How difficult it is to start a new business? Very difficult. How much harder is it to do that with all this regulation? Do you know who regulation favors? Regulation favors big banks, big businesses, big corporations, because you know what? They have the resources to hire compliance people. This is how it works out there in the real world. They've got the resources. They to them, you know, plopping down an extra few million a year on some salaries to bring in compliance people is not a big deal. To a smaller outfit, and by the way, you always need renewal in the economy. To have a good, strong economy with good pricing, good competition, you need renewal. You occasionally need a old, big bank to go under and fail and disappear. And you need their clientele picked up by a bunch of new, smaller, more flexible, more, you know, customer-friendly, customer-oriented institutions. Does this make sense? But those institutions are far more difficult for them to get off the ground when what? When they're burdened by all these rules and have to hire all these compliance people before they even get open their doors on day one. It's absurd. And it affects you. But this is where I think liberalism and certainly establishment politics, they favor big companies. All of these restrictions that Congress gets through, they're the result of intense lobbying. That lobbying is coming from big business. And big business, the big dirty secret is they love regulation because it keeps new competition away from them. All right, don't go anywhere. We're back after this.
Talk radio. 790 KABC.
All right, Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Wow, the show's almost wrapping up here. These 2 hours fly by. I'm ready to get home. It's been a long week. I'm sure you're in the same boat. Now, my plans, updates on the show updates, show news. We are going to have a phenomenal Thanksgiving Day show. It's a very important message, and I'm speaking as a parent on parenting in the future of this country, which I think is an important time to talk about it, because Thanksgiving is the start for many of us of a season where if we work, if we spend a lot of time away from home, this is a time when we're home. We're with our kids. We start going on vacations like the one I'm taking next week. I'm getting out of town. We're going to have some great replay shows, some great best ofs. We've been working on this. You're going to be very pleased. But I'm out of town. I'm taking some time off to spend with the family and with my parents. We've got a phenomenal show that will be airing that you haven't heard yet on Thanksgiving Day. You don't want to miss it. So that's what's happening next week. That is what Sam Nation is going to be doing next week. And then we're back the week after. Or do we have a show on Monday? Can we figure that out? I don't know. We've got Kings on certain days, but let's figure out if we're back on Monday after the holiday. But that week I am in town and we'll be doing live shows. Just so you know and you're aware. Well, I'll tell you this deregulation business is a great way to get the economy moving because you know, when we design cars, when we design technology, when we design airplanes, the first thing that the engineer does is put the thing either in a wind tunnel or in a digital model that tests what kind of drag coefficient you have. You know, this is why we drive, you know, Teslas are shaped the way they are and don't look like a Stutz Bearcat. Yeah, no wind tunnel on those cars. Didn't matter. They're only, you know, 30 miles an hour. This is a drag coefficients exist also in economic terms. Things that slow down the economy. And regulation is one of them. And it always comes from some great idea about how we're going to make things better. Literally the worst things, what was this Ronald Reagan quote? Hi, I'm here from the federal government and I want to help. Scariest words in the English language. So Dodd-Frank, I was talking about that earlier, and I couldn't get into a tangent, but I'm going to address it right here. You understand that we got into the banking crisis because precisely of regulation, because the federal government came in and started guaranteeing bad loans, and then the banks got blamed for it. The banks got blamed for making bad loans and reselling them and trying to get rid of the bad debt that was on their books. And then the reaction to that wasn't to undo that program, but was to regulate banks more so that they would be good when they were incentivized by the federal government to do those loans in the first place. Because George Bush got up there like a freaking idiot and started talking about how home ownership is important. You know what? Some people can't afford a house and they need a rent. That's the way the world works. Politicians, my goodness. All right. We are back live on Monday after the holiday. Next week, great programming, great never heard before Thanksgiving special. You don't want to miss it. Have a wonderful, safe weekend. Travel safe. Enjoy your family and stay away from politics as much as you can. That is my Sam Nation warning from me to you. Have a good night.